This evening we're looking at the line in the Lord's Prayer, give us today our daily bread. But what does give us today our daily bread even mean? Is this just a prayer for food? Are we asking God for any particular type of bread? Is this multigrain? Is it gluten-free? Is it high fibre? Because if it's plain white, I don't want it, unless it's really fresh and then I'll make an exception. If you're just asking for bread, well, you don't really need to ask God for it. Here, look, I can provide for you. Here we go. Here's a loaf of bread. Anybody crying out to the Lord because they want a loaf of bread? No, Lachlan, you're too far away. There you go, Geordie. There's a loaf of bread for you. You don't need to pray, God, give me my bread. I've provided it for you. Now you can eat that. Now you can share that with us later for supper. You can do whatever you like. But is this really what our request for daily bread is? Obviously, it's a whole lot more than bread. Bread here is a metaphor for God's sustenance, that we want God to keep us alive. It's a prayer calling us to depend on God. But do we really call on God for our physical needs? Do we really depend on God for food when you can duck down to Coles and get a loaf of white bread for 85 cents? Is this what we do? Let me pray as we think about this topic. Dear Heavenly Father, give us open ears and an open heart to hear what you have to say to us, to be challenged by your word, and to be changed to be like your Son. Amen. So as I mentioned, we're continuing in our series on the Lord's Prayer. And Jesus has been teaching his disciples a prayer that reorients their life to his loving rule. The first three parts of the Lord's Prayer that we've seen over the last 3 weeks, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, and your will be done, all remind us of who the boss is, who's ruling this kingdom, and who deserves the glory. And now Jesus teaches us to come before our King with our needs for sustenance, with our needs for forgiveness, and with our need for protection. And we're looking at the first of those three, that God would provide for our needs. And as we consider our bread today, we're going to be challenged by how much we actually depend on God. We're going to do things in a bit of a strange order. We're going to look at three things. We're going to look at our daily bread, but we're going to go in reverse order. So we're going to go bread, daily, hour. I just want to keep you guys on your toes, just keep you guessing a little bit tonight. So we're going to start by looking at bread. This request for bread is much larger than just the white, fluffy stuff. Let me read from Psalm 65 that Phoebe read for us earlier. You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide the grain, for so you have prepared it. You water its furrows abundantly, settling its ridges, softening it with showers and blessing its growth. You crown the year with your bounty. Your wagon tracks overflow with abundance. God provides rain for crops, for grain to grow, for people to be able to harvest that crops. It gives jobs for farmers and bakers and gives jobs to people at Subway so I can go and get my lunch there. And where would we all be if God didn't send rain so that coffee beans would grow and we could get coffee? There'd be plenty of people out of jobs in Sydney if there wasn't cafes. But bread was the staple food then, and it still is for a lot of people now. It's the staple food. Has anybody ever heard the phrase bread and dripping? Anybody had that back many years ago, bread and drippings? This was the staple food when there wasn't much around. It was bread and leftover fat, and pretty much that's the only reason why I have bread these days. I just put butter on it. But this is a prayer for bread that is food. It's a prayer for sustenance. It's a prayer for the basic necessities. But I don't have any grain growing in my backyard. Does anybody have any grain growing in their backyard? No, I've got some pumpkins that are threatening to overtake my whole backyard. I think maybe some artichoke. But I can't really survive on the food that's in my backyard. But God has provided a job. And so I have an income so I can go and buy the things that are necessary for life. So this is a prayer for employment. This is a prayer against sickness so that I can work and I can buy food. This is a prayer against war and famine. It's significant that when Satan goes to Jesus, he asks him to turn a rock into bread. Bread is basic food, but it represents all of God's provision for us, for our physical needs. Would Jesus depend on God, or would he take into his own hands his needs for his physical frame? Because that's what this prayer comes down to. This is a prayer to God that he'll take care of our physical life. If Jesus teaches us that God is a person that we can depend on, are we people that depend on God for our physical needs? Jesus is teaching us to depend on God and to be content with what he gives us. This is a petition for our needs and not our greeds. Jesus is teaching us to pray for bread, which is basic. It's not teaching us to pray for cake. It's not give us today our daily three-course meal with matching wines. It's bread. Because Jesus continually talks about the deceitfulness of chasing after physical wealth and luxuries. In Mark 4, when Jesus is telling the parable of the sower, he said that one of the seeds did not grow because the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things came in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. And Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6, godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Are we content with the basic things in life? I've got a friend, a good Christian brother, and I got the chance to hang out with him last night. It's always good to catch up with him, but he's always got a get-rich-quick scheme. Do you know people like this? They've always just got he's just always got an idea in the back of his mind. This is how I'm going to crack it. This is how I'm going to make a lot of money. One of my favorite of his schemes was he wanted to import Hummers from the States. Hummers are the massive Jeeps, because I don't think you can buy them here, but they're actually quite cheap in the States. So the idea is you import it, you change it over from left-hand drive to right-hand drive, and then you sell it and you make money, and all of a sudden, millionaire. So that was his idea. He always goes through these different ideas. But it's always dangerous for him, I think, because he's always chasing get-rich-quick schemes, and it seems that he is not satisfied with what God has provided for him. When we pray to the Lord, are we asking that we would be content with what he has given us? Or can we fall into the trap of chasing money? So that's the first part of this line that we're looking at. That's the bread. And going in reverse, we're going to look at daily now. And this part of the prayer is something that brings us to God every day. We pray to God every day to depend on him regardless of what's in our pantry. It reminds us particularly of God providing for Israel in the desert. Israel had to learn to trust God. God promised Israel, I'll feed you, I'll have bread rain down from heaven. But Israel had to learn how to trust God. God gave them instructions to test whether they could trust God. And so he told them to collect enough bread for the day. And the Israelites went out, and they gathered too much bread and they brought it back in. And the next day, the extra bread was infested with maggots. So they disobeyed. And then again on the Friday, God said to them, go out and gather twice as much food, because on Saturday, I don't want you to work. I want you to rest and I want you to remember my salvation. But again, on the Saturday, they go out to get more food, but this time there is no food. God was training the Israelites to be satisfied with what he gave them and to accept his gifts in accordance with his promises. So when Jesus is tempted by Satan in the desert, thankfully Jesus knew better than to give in to his physical needs. And instead he trusted in God. God provides for us each day and we need to trust in what he provides us. A big part of this prayer is that Jesus wants us to bring our requests to God every day. Like going out and getting that manna in the desert first thing in the morning, we are to come before God every day, asking that he would provide for our needs. The Christian is to live in complete dependence on God, one day at a time. If we pray, God, provide for me, do we believe that whatever comes to us is God's answer? Are we content with what comes our way? Are we content with the number of zeros in our bank account? Are we content with our house or with our job? What about when times are tough, maybe when there's no work, or the mortgage only seems to increase, or the credit card debt just seems to get above your eyeballs? Are we content? How do we manage those times? One author, Richard Cokin, encourages us to remember that before God fed Israel, he humbled them. He let them go hungry. God was teaching them to depend on him, disciplining them through hardship as a loving father. Difficult times when maybe there's no work, maybe it's a recession or redundancies, these times are a chance to grow in our conscious dependence on God, in a God who loves his children. This prayer teaches us to come before God every day to depend on what he provides for us. Let me just make a slightly divergent point here, if I can. I just want to talk about gambling briefly. Should Christians gamble? I like to watch a fair bit of the cricket, and there's always ads on for gambling whenever I watch the cricket. And they make it seem really exciting. Like, if only I had some money on this, this game would be really exciting. Now, I think cricket's pretty exciting as it is. I don't think you need to have money on it. But it's just like, oh, I need to put some money on this and have my mates around and it'll be great. And they try and do a really good job of selling gambling. But gambling is an expression of not trusting that God will provide for you. I'm going to take what God has given me through my job, through whatever income I have or however God has provided it, and I'm going to risk what he's given me because I'm not satisfied with it. And so I'm going to risk it so I can get more. It's essentially saying, God, I'm not content with what you have, and so I'm going to try and double it. I've heard people justify it, saying, oh, look, I just buy a scratchy every now and then so that, you know, if God really wants to bless me through this means, he can. I'm allowing God to do his work. And I've heard people say that. But God has provided for you. This prayer encourages us to be content with that. When Jesus teaches us to pray for our daily bread, we are to pray daily, placing ourselves at his feet, even if we know that we've got a fridge and a pantry full. God has provided those things for us. We've now come to the word our daily bread. When we pray, Lord, give us today our daily bread, this prayer reorients us to our physical form, our physical body, and reminds us that God cares for our bodies. Let me read from Matthew 6:25. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet the heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Life is more than physical needs. But God does provide for our bodies. So this is an encouragement not to become like a monk who hides away and rejects the physical form and doesn't want to have anything to do with people. Now, this is probably less of a problem for us. I can't see anybody hiding away. You know, hasn't shaved in a month. I'm probably the closest to that here. There's certainly some people at 10 o'clock who are starting to look a little bit more shaggy. This is probably less of a problem for us, not caring for our physical bodies. The problem for us is probably the other side. Instead of downplaying the importance of the physical form, we probably worry about it too much. For some, they might spend too much time talking about which part of the body doesn't work anymore. Or maybe we deify our bodies. We turn our bodies into gods. We make health and beauty and physical fitness not good things that God has given us, but God to worship instead. We need to depend on God to care for our physical bodies and be content with what we have, how we look, and not pursue contentment and happiness in the mirror. Finally, we've spent most of our time talking tonight about our relationship with God, how God provides for us and how we should depend on Him. But there's one last thing to think about, and that's the inclusive language of this prayer. We pray, "Give us our daily bread." This is a prayer that's bigger than us. It's a request from God that we would love those that are in community around us, that we would love those who don't have daily bread. This is the reason why we give food to Simple Love and to the Anglicare Food Drive. We give food because there are people who don't have what we have. Wouldn't it be terrible if we were so comfortable praying, you know, "God, provide for me for my daily bread," you know, sitting in our houses with fridges and pantries full, but there were those who were doing it tough and didn't have enough, and we didn't even know that they were in need. When we pray, "Give us today our daily bread," we are asking God that He would help us to be generous and share what He's provided for us. This prayer, on the one hand, seems so simple, but it is a request that we would depend on God for all of our life. Because really, regardless of our bank balance, our job, the amount of cars we've got in our driveway, we all come to God as beggars. That's all we are, on our hands and knees before the Lord, asking the One who provides for us. Have you taken it for granted how easy it is to take care of the physical form? You know, as I mentioned, it's easy to get a loaf of bread. It's not too difficult to get work. We don't need, in one sense, to talk to God to get a job. We don't need to thank God for the job. We don't need to open the fridge every day and say, "Thank you, God, for the food in the pantry and the food in the fridge. Thank you for the health to work. Thank you for the ability to rest." Do we take for granted what God provides? To be honest, I pray this type of prayer most when I am in need. Is this true of you too, that you pray, "Lord, provide for me," when you're in need? When life is pretty normal, I don't really pray this prayer. And so life has been a little bit crazy recently. My 5-year-old son, Isaac, has started school and life has been kind of thrown out of whack. I've been praying a lot for the little guy, that he'd fit in at school, that we'd be able to care for him and love him, that he'd make friends, that God would provide for him. But I think it's week 5 now. We've kind of gotten into a routine. And what happens is I stop depending on God so much. In about 4 weeks' time, our life is about to go crazy again. We're having another baby. And I'm certainly going to be praying to God a whole lot more. "God, please provide for this little one. Help me be a good father to this little one. Help me be a good husband. Lord, can you help me provide for my family?" But again, soon enough, we'll get into a normal habit where we can do life and I'll just have my 3 kids and my dog and my wife, and I'll stop depending on God every day. I'll forget that it's only God who provides for me each day. It's easy to get out of the habit of calling on God each day that he would provide for the day ahead. Let me close with what I hope would be our prayer. It's from Proverbs 30, verses 8 and 9. Let me read it, and then I'm going to pray it for us to close. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of God. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the provision of your Son. Thank you that he died for us and was raised. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Son, that you raise the Son each day. Thank you for the rain that you bring. Thank you that you bless us all by keeping this earth going another day. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would neither give us poverty nor riches, but only give us our daily bread. Otherwise, Lord, we may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or we may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of you. Heavenly Father, help us to depend upon you each day in the name of your Son. Amen.